Welcome to the Hope on the Hard Road podcast, where you and your family can find community, find encouragement, and find hope for the road ahead. Speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so that you will all be together in this. 1 Thessalonians 5:11.
Before we get started today, we wanted to take a minute to share about our Dad's Day Out event coming this June 8th. We're heading down to San Diego for a Padre game with lots of food and fun with the guys. To register, go to our website or be watching our social media for the link. Hope to see you there. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to have Steve Chapman back on the podcast today as we continue our discussion on encouraging dads. Steve is the vice president at Rising Above Ministries, a nonprofit in Tennessee that is dedicated to lifting up the special needs community. As both a ministry leader and a dad with special needs children, Steve brings a wealth of insight and experience to share with us on the podcast today. This is the second part of a two-part series focused on dads. Let's listen in. Welcome, Steve. It's really glad you're coming on the podcast today and speaking to us about dads.
Well, hey, Eric. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited about this.
One of the things I know for dads in general, you know, and really anybody living this life is trying to balance the demands of, you know, work, family, being a caregiver, and then actually taking time to be a dad and enjoying life. So what advice would you have, you know, for balancing those things, different aspects of life?
Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations over the years about balance, and I would say this, you know, for many seasons and days, I probably do a terrible job at balancing my life and all those areas. And here's I tell you where I land on this, and that certainly is not anything new or originates for me. I've heard many people talk about this, but I think the problem is that we're trying to balance it all. You know, when I was a kid growing up in the 70s, I remember they would have these shows on TV and they would have it was almost like a circus. But one of the acts was they would have somebody, and their act was to try to get all these plates spinning on these tall little wobbly poles. And they would have about seven or eight of these things, you know, and they would start one, you know, they try to get them all spinning, and inevitably one would fall, then another one, you know, and it was just all, you're looking at thinking this is impossible. But eventually the act was they got all those plates spinning at one time. And of course the audience applauds. And it's like, this is great. I think that's what we're trying to do today. I think we are trying to spin all these plates. As you think about it, all the hats, you know, all the, you know, husband, dad, employee, employer, friend, neighbor, son, uncle, whatever, lots of different hats that we wear. And we're constantly trying to keep all these things going and spinning. And so social media is kind of like our audience now. And it's like, you're supposed to, you know, it just looks like everybody else has got all their plates and they keep them spinning perfectly. And so we're trying, you know, we're playing to that audience, and you know, our applause is those likes, you know. It's like, oh, look at me, look what we did, you know, wow, how do you find time to do all this? And so we're still trying to get all that going, but I think what happens is it just leads to burnout, which if not dealt with, is going to, you know, you end up breaking down and just falling apart because you can't keep all those things spinning. Life isn't balanced. I mean, you know this. I mean, you're a dad, your husband, a special needs dad. I mean, it's not balanced. You just what you said, even in your question, when you said, how have you balanced the demands of parenting? Because all these areas that we move in and out of, they have demands. You know, our marriage has demands something of us. Our parenting demands something. Our job demands something of us. Our church demands. but and it's not balanced. You know, they don't coordinate with one another. You know, it's not like, hey, is it okay if I have a meltdown? You know, is this a good time, or are you going to have a meltdown this week? You know, it just happens. It comes at us. And so what I think for me, it's important that I focus not so much on trying to balancing it all, but trying to make sure I have margin in my life, because here, all these things have a minimum responsibility. If you think about it, I mean, there's minimum things I have to do. You know, if I work, I mean, I have to work. I've got hours I have to put in or whatever, or a project I have to complete. You know, there's minimum requirements. If I'm going to be a good husband, a good dad, there's just a minimum of things I'm going to have to do. So you've got to figure that out. The problem is learning to set some boundaries in all of those areas so that I preserve some margin in my life, because there's going to come seasons when I'm going to have to lean a little more into my wife or into my parenting or into my job. And if I haven't left any margin, then it's going to get ugly. It's going to get hard. And so trying to create that margin, you know, for us, I mean, we got five kids. And so over the years, you know, we've just tried to carve out like, okay, look, you know, I physically can't hang out with every single one of you every night. So we kind of would create like special hangout times with dad. And so it's just where I would take one of the kids one-on-one, you know, and that may just be going to their bedroom and we play a game, or we shoot some basketball outside, or we go grab an ice cream cone or something. I mean, nothing major, but just carving out that time. And you know, and each kid doesn't get one-on-one time every night. It's just impossible. And so, but we've tried to carve out those times, you know, I tell that, make sure you take your vacations. Don't neglect that. Just trying to keep some margin so that I have some space there for when one of these areas has a higher demand, and it will. And so, but if I try to balance all that, I will drive myself crazy. Yeah. So I don't know if that makes sense.
It definitely does. You know. Maybe then highlight how do you get margin? Because I look at it, you have five kids, you have ministry full time, you have a wife. And and to me, I'm like looking at that like margin. Where do you put margin into your life with all those responsibilities? Yeah. Maybe you can highlight that.
Well, that's where you have to plan. You do have to do some planning. And fortunately, the Lord gave me a wife who is an incredible organizer and planner. I mean, her brain just thinks ways that mine doesn't. And she's very helpful with that. But I think it is planning, you know, for me to, and especially with our family. Like I say, we would, you know, just and let our kids know. December is crazy for us with all Christmas activities and stuff. And so we actually create a special December calendar and we put it up on the wall. And so it also helps our kids to know, hey, this is your night to go Christmas shopping with dad, you know, so they know, hey, you're not getting left out. And, but we just, the impromptu thing is hard to do. You have to have a plan like, hey, and I mean, of course we're crazy. We're even down to like, okay, this night we're watching this Christmas movie. And then this night we're watching just eliminate arguments over it, you know, but having that plan that this is what we're going to do. With our family. And that's been a big thing, you know, that they kind of know. I mean, our kids now know it's like, hey, Tuesday night is my night. I get to hang out with dad. And that means, you know, for this kid, that means we're going to go play games. Or for this one, it means we're going to probably watch one of their favorite movies or, you know, whatever that looks like. So they know. And they know what that time looks like. Same thing with my wife. And we have to schedule, hey, Sunday night is kind of our night. You know, the kids all know, hey, after this, then everybody, you go to your rooms and mom and dad connect here and it's our chance just to catch up. And so I think you have to have a plan. And then with work, you have to be willing to set boundaries. And that's where I've not always done the best, and especially with ministry, there's never enough hours in the day. And there have been seasons where my wife had to look at me and say, you're working 7 days a week. This is not sustainable. Absolutely. And she's right. You know, she was right. And I was like, you're right. I've got to take my day off. I've got to. And then somewhere in there, you've got to, you know, make sure you plan for downtime for yourself. You know, whatever that looks like, you know, find something that you can make happen. And I think the margin isn't going to just happen. You have to be intentional. That's the biggest thing, is you have to be intentional about planning. This is what I can do, and being willing to say no. you know, the pastor calls and says, hey, I think you'd be great to head up this. And you have to say, I would love to head that up. But you know what? I can't do that right now.
Yeah, not at the sacrifice of your family.
Yeah. And that's hard. It's hard for guys to do.
No, you know, I hear you.
To say no.
Well, and what you said, I mean, a couple of things. You said it, you know, out loud intentionally. And one of the things when I'm hearing margin in your life, you actually, you give room for just one person or one thing and not try to do it all at the same time. So what I'm seeing that, it's if you spend time with just one child, it's very fruitful. They have the freedom. You have margin to go with the conversation. You're not caring for the other needs. Especially special needs seem to dominate the room in terms of what their needs are, but taking time out with the other children, your wife, you know, and then it's really a positive time as opposed to doing all that time at once. It doesn't work. Yeah. And so as you're explaining, that really come into mind what you mean by that.
They have your undivided attention.
Isn't that huge?
I'm no good at multitasking. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is I think nobody is, because if you think about it, if you're multitasking, the truth is nothing is getting your undivided attention. Mm-hmm. And no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's they know that you've got this is your time, you know, and you've got my attention here. And of course, you gotta put the devices away, you gotta put the phone aside, you know, and just nothing's gonna interrupt that.
Yeah.
And I try to tell this generation, you got to understand, we once existed without cell phones.
Oh, I hear you. Eye contact, right?
It's possible.
No, that's great stuff. And, you know, you've mentioned some of this talking about marriage, but, you know, what advice would you give to encouraging, supporting, you know, building your marriage when there is all these demands?
Well, the thing about marriage is the same thing. You got to be intentional. Mm-hmm. And, you know, recently I've learned some things that's been really encouraging, you know, because, and maybe you have too, I would hear a lot of just talk about the, you know, the divorce rate among special needs couples is so high, 80-90%. Mm-hmm. But, you know, truthfully, I can't find any research to back that number. You'll find it talked about in a lot of articles, but actually to find studies that have shown that, I haven't found one yet. But what I have found is actually that there are studies that show there's not a significant difference in the divorce rate. And as a matter of fact, couples that have children with Down syndrome, actually studies show they have a lower divorce rate. So I say that just to say that's encouraging, because but what I do know is true is having a special needs child certainly is an extra stressor on your marriage. And marriage is hard, and we've got natural stressors already. And so you put a special needs child, so surely there's a stressor. But I tell couples all the time, my thing is, don't forget you're married. And what I mean by that is we don't forget we're married, but we can forget about our marriage, because especially if you're a special needs parent, and you know, that spectrum is broad, and some of us are dealing with, you know, 24/7 types challenges, and we can forget that we are a couple, you know, but if you think about when Jesus was asked in Matthew 19, you know, they said, hey, you know, is it okay to divorce for any reason? And he quoted from the Old Testament. He said, don't you know that the Bible says for this reason, a man will leave his mother and father, cleave his wife, the two become one flesh. And then he added this. He said, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And I think we typically read that and say that typically means, you know, hey, don't have an affair. Don't let another person come between you and your spouse. But for special needs parents, and that's true, but for special needs parents, I think we could also say that also includes our special needs child. Because what I see a lot of times is we get I know it can be challenging and it can be hard, but if we're not careful, what I see the scenario a lot of times is the mama bear kicks in and she just goes full blown, I'm going to champion the cause of my special needs child. We as dads, we're fixers. We can't fix this. We don't know what our place is, what our role is. So a lot of times we check out, we throw ourselves into work or figure something, but we're not parenting together. Jesus said there, he said, what God has brought together, we have to remember that God chose us to be special needs parents. He chose us to be the parents of this child. Mm-hmm. And he didn't give us this child for this child to separate us, for this challenge to separate us. Mm-hmm. He gave this child to us together to champion and to parent together. And so we've got to remember as a married couple, we got to stay together. That means we got to parent together. We got to play together. We got to find times. Like, well, when am I going to find time? I got no time in my day. I saw a study that said, if you spent 30 minutes a day with your spouse, just having some fun, it could be playing a game, watching a favorite TV show together, find 30 minutes a day, that's only 2% of your entire day. Mm. So, you know, but, you know, playing together and then I think praying together. I mean, making time for spiritual growth is huge, because if we set that aside, we're really going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. But the more that we can make time for God and do that together, even if it's just praying together before we go to bed, totally exhausted at night or whatever, but just making time for that thing to be together, I think that's so important. And I would just say to any couple out there right now that it's where it's really hard and maybe you're struggling, I always just say, don't give up. Mm-hmm. You know, studies show that even unhappy married couples don't stay unhappy. Most of them, if they choose to stay together, within 5 years, they're going to be happier, mm-hmm. Which I think is oftentimes the lie. The lie is like, oh, you'd be better off if you just separate. But the studies show actually that it's not true. Mm-hmm. And so just hang in there, get help, please don't be afraid to get help. My wife and I have gone to marriage counseling. I mean, get help, invite other people to step into your situation when it gets hard and speak truth and encouragement mm-hmm. to you there. But yeah, you know, it's, you got to pay attention. You got to be intentional. Don't forget about your marriage. I know mm-hmm. you got a lot going on, but just don't forget to focus and make time for your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things you mentioned was counseling. And I think especially for men, you're like, oh, counseling, what? I can fix this on my own. It's such good wisdom. I mean, and you're talking about, you know, you have a good marriage. You have 5 kids, you're working, you're on ministry, and you're pouring into other people's life. You can't pour into other people's life if your marriage isn't, you know, on a fairly solid ground too.
Right.
And I know me and my wife have gone to counseling, and I tell people all the time, like, you know, for two people that go to counseling who love each other and are encouraged, you know, it's incredibly fruitful. You can spend an hour yes. in counseling and uncover so much in the communication aspect of mm-hmm. marriage and make so much progress forward. So it's not looking at like this, you know, taboo that you go to marriage, it must mean your marriage isn't good. No, it's two people that are intentional mm-hmm. that are really, you know, trying to move forward. So much good yeah. advice there that you had. I mean, just thing after thing, you know, I'm looking at this. It's really fantastic. One thing too, you said, you know, about studies about marriage. I look at some of the special needs journey, and especially, you know, you write it out, and there's definitely times you're not happy, and it's not because of your sure. spouse, it's the challenges, but writing it out, you know, we look around and our marriage is thriving in a lot of ways because of it, not, you know, separating. The, yeah. the fact that we have this, and if you can come to grips with the idea that, you know, you guys are together, you have each other, all this other stuff is not against... We together are fighting that. The anxiety doesn't mm-hmm. come from each other. It comes from what's on the outside mm-hmm. and then pair together, be a teamwork together and move forward and push it. You know, you have such solid things and such like literally there's a topic of suffering. I think we talked about with this Becky too, you know, the idea of that suffering through things together and growing through things together is a foundational thing that I think Jesus brings through our life and mm-hmm. and really builds a solid thing. It's not comfortable. It's not easy.
Right.
You want to give up. You know, that's your natural instinct to quit. It would be better off if I didn't have her because she's really the problem, right? No, it's the trials of life, and that's your partner. Yeah. And to ride it out and know that there's better days ahead if you stay there. Don't think today is the last day to keep. And there may be many days that are struggle, but down the road, you know, if you keep working at it, there's going to be brighter days. So, I mean, just terrific advice. Yeah. You know, one of the things we always like to do, you know, as we talk to a guest is, and you've had numerous things to of good encouragement, but what is one thing you'd want to leave with our dads, you know, that would bring encouragement and hope for the road ahead?
Yeah. Wow. Trying to put your finger on something there. I think for dads, I would definitely say, find other dads who are walking this special needs life. That's been such a life-giving thing for me. And there have been times when, honestly, I didn't really think I needed that. You know, I'm like, our scenario is not that, you know, not that challenging, although at times it is. But, you know, you can always look around and say, well, there's, you know, but just having other dads that, especially guys that are a little bit older, who are a little bit further down that road, down that journey, just to speak into some things. Because, you know, with this special needs life, a lot of times you're just you're figuring it out. And you're looking for some good directions along the way. Well, there's guys out there that have been there, done that, have walked through some of those seasons. And so I would just say, make sure you find some other dads, and you have to be intentional about that. I mean, it's there, because the truth of the matter is, I don't care where you're at across this country, there are other dads out there. Nearby you, you know, geographically nearby you, who are special needs dads who are walking through some of these things too, and try to find each other, you know, even to the extent of, you know, you may have to be the one that takes the lead. And it could be as simple as saying, look, once a month, we're going to gather down at, you know, a local restaurant or a pool hall and shoot pool or have some, you know, some dinner or whatever. You know, reach out to the school systems and just say, hey, you know, in the special education department, maybe where your child attends or something, and just says, you know, here, would you guys be willing to disseminate this, you know, information, pass this out? Hey, and just invite them. Figure out a way to connect. You know, go online. There's virtual groups that meet online. There's places, there's organizations that you can get connected with other dads. I think that's just so important. Because we do need each other. We need each other. We need those places where we can connect with guys that understand, you know, and you don't have to explain where you're coming from, you know, why you feel this way. They get it. They've been there. They know. And I think that's important. And part of that is just embracing that this is your life. And it's not a punishment. It's not unfair. God called us to be special needs dads. Is it hard? Absolutely. But I think the sooner we can embrace that, okay, God, you know, and just realize that I'm not in control of my life. I don't have full, you know, it's not a complete autobiography. Many times God takes the pen out of my hand and he writes chapters that I wouldn't have written in my life story. But, you know, he always gives the pen back and says, okay, now you write the next chapter, which is my response, you know. But just embrace it. It's not a punishment. It's you have it messed up. You're not the unlucky one because you got a special needs child. The truth of the matter is, and you were kind of alluded to this earlier. I mean, this is a blessing. You know, I think it's in one of the Gospels. Maybe it's in John, where, you know, some of the disciples see this blind man and they ask Jesus, like, "Hey, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither one of them." He said, "This was given to him so that the power of God might be manifested in him." And when we can begin to look and say, wow, God has a plan for this. God is doing something. You know, Jeff Davidson, who he and his wife Becky, like I say, started Rising Above, he shares early on in his journey that he just was mad at God. And why did you give me a son with profound special needs? And he said, eventually God broke through his complaining and said, listen, Jeff, I've given you a blessing in your son. What you choose to do with it is up to you. And, you know, of course, for Jeff, that was life-altering, life-changing, and eventually would go on and start Rising Above Ministries. But that's for any of us out there. God's given us a blessing. What we choose to do with it is up to us. It's not easy. It's not easy. But as you were saying, easy isn't always best. You know, the strongest, wisest, maturest people I know have hard paths. You know, that their lives aren't easy, but there's great fruit that comes from that. And so That's just been my encouragement for dads. It's just as soon as you can embrace that and then find community with other guys that are doing it too. It's so important.
Mm. That's such great advice. You know, really, Steve, coming on today, I so appreciate it. So much wisdom you're sharing with, our listeners, and really, really glad to be able to, have this chance to discuss this and connect.
Yeah. Well, Eric, listen, I'm honored that you would have me. I always love meeting fellow special needs dads, and I've enjoyed talking with you. And again, Rising Above Ministries, we're online, as you guys hope on the hard road are as well. I mean, we're out here. And I know this is your heart as well. Dads, just reach out, find us.
Yeah.
Reach out to us, however we can help you, come alongside you. That's what we want to do, because it is hard, but man, there's a blessing in it as well. And we can help each other find that.
Resources and contact information for today's podcast will be included in the show notes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share us with others and be sure to follow us so you won't miss an episode. And we'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment or rating and connect with us on social media or on our website at hopeonthehardroad.org.